Kitchen Garden on Community Radio Kilkenny City 88.7 FM with Frances Nesbitt and Mags Morrissey.
Hello and welcome to the Kitchen Garden on Community Radio Kilkenny City. I am Frances Nesbitt from Crowan Cottages here in Kilkenny, and I'm joined as usual by Mags Morrissey from Hedgehog Bakery. We're live today, Friday, on the 21st, Midwinter's Day, and the show is repeated on Monday from 4 to 5. Merry Christmas to you all. And we'd love to hear from you during the show today. We're going to be talking about preparation for the Christmas dinner, some last minute gifts, gift wrapping, and a little bit about midwinter. If you have anything to add to any of the stories or any tips for any of our listeners, please do drop us a text to 086 353 7782. That's 086 353 7782. Or you can email the show at any stage during the week, kitchengarden@ckc.ie. Mags, happy Christmas.
Thank you. Happy Christmas to you too.
How was your week?
It was good, actually. Yeah, it took me a while to warm up to the Christmas spirit, but I feel now I'm in it, actually. So that's good.
You are of the Christmas spirit.
I am, yes.
Ah, very good.
I would cheer anyone up today now, I think.
Would you?
Yes.
Right, excellent.
So
that's good.
So if anybody out there... then it will be sorted. I did a bit of more wreath making, actually. I think I was talking about wreath making, was I? Maybe I'm just thinking about it and dreaming about it a lot. So I've made quite a few wreaths, actually, this year, all with just bits from the garden. So, and kind of more of the unusual things, like I used dead oak leaves, or, you know, brown oak leaves in one, and it looks really nice, actually. Alder and willow, dogwood, lots of different, and holly, ivy, and you can actually make a really nice wreath for absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Really nice.
Like 50 cent for a bit of ribbon. But if you've got some cones, wire them up and tie them into it. Or you can dry some like slices of orange or slices of apple, and you can have a completely natural wreath that will actually, you know, you can put into the compost heap when you're finished with it. So you have nothing for the bin.
And all of yours were on kind of wound willow canes, is that?
Now some of them were on the willow, but I did actually use a frame on some, which you can buy very easily, and then take all the green off at the end and keep your frame for next year. So that's your only expense, really, the frame, which they're about €1 or something.
Okay.
And it's kind of a nice thing to do, actually, and it's amazing when you go out looking around in the hedges and that, what you'll find. I put fern into one, actually, and it's kind of a nice brightish green, that kind of changed how that look. And you can just, even just changing, you know, one or two of the greenery you put in makes it look quite different, or adding in some berries if you have them. I'm finding it hard to find holly berries. The birds, they came out very early this year, so the birds seem to have devoured them.
Not so long ago, I was looking at a holly tree that was laden with berries, and I was thinking, now what I should really do is cover a couple of those sprigs with something to keep the birds off them, or take them down and put them in the freezer or something like that. Of course I didn't. And now, like that, they are stripped
yeah,
bare. But look, it's better the birds get them than we have them, you know, hung up for just a couple of days.
Drying over the mantelpiece, yeah, really. And that. And was I talking last week about the puppies? Is there anyone in Kilkenny who hasn't heard about puppies?
I do wonder about that. But thankfully, we've had a text message in from Kevin. Kevin, have a very Merry Christmas to you and yours as well. And thanks very much for getting in touch. And we'd love to hear from anybody during the show today. 086 353 7782. You can drop us a text. So, yes, I went to visit the puppies with my two. And I have to tell you, Martha's talking an awful lot about the puppies. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, really.
I'm standing in supermarket queues and I'm telling the person beside me, and that there's great excitement. And it's so nice to see them growing. They're kind of, every day you turn around, they actually look a lot bigger.
I think it's incredibly brave of you to be keeping all seven puppies all for yourself to add to your three dogs already. Ten dogs.
No, they're the kids are trying to, they'd like one, to keep one. That's Max.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
And then there's puppies available
for everybody else.
For everybody else. Okay, very good. Now, speaking of supermarkets, we had a great week last week with our friends in Lidl in Lochboy at the supermarket there. 2 hours of a fun-packed show.
Yeah, we did.
That was superb. Really enjoyed
that.
All the people coming up and saying hello while we were in the supermarket. And the lads seemed happy as well. So best of luck to them and continued success. And Merry Christmas to our friends in Lidl. Now, there is a lovely gift here before me.
Yes.
Is this for me?
Yes.
Should I open it now?
Well, you can, yes. But you actually have to admire and look at the wrapping first.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, yeah. This now, isn't just is, a gift, this is a wrap.
As we're on radio, I'm going to have to try and do a job of explaining this. I will take a photo, though, and tweet it at NesbitF. If you're on Twitter, have a look there. But what I'm looking at here, it seems... I think it's a grandfather clock, is it?
Yeah, something like that.
It's a grandfather... Oh, no, wait, maybe it's a magazine.
Kind of small grandfather.
Okay, okay. So it looks like a magazine, but it's wrapped beautifully in a piece of newspaper, very colourful newspaper, and it actually is a story about great books for gardeners for Christmas.
Yes.
In the article. So that's very good. So it's a zero kind of... Well, it's reusing the newspaper as gift wrapping. And then there's a beautiful piece of ribbon tying all around it into four quarters. And then in the ribbon... There's a little, what would you call that, a garland?
A little garland.
A little garland,
yes.
Of winter greenery. So there's some, a sprig of fern, or sorry, fir, and ivy, and...
alder.
Alder, and...
Willow.
Willow catkin, and some ivy berries. That's very festive. That's
and the
lovely.
Ribbon actually is fabric, so... You can use that every year
again,
on presents
again,
for
again.
The next 10, 20 years. There's a shop on James's Street in Kilkenny that has...
you love that
great,
shop.
I love that shop. I absolutely love it. But for a couple of euro, you'll buy metres and metres of ribbon. I have a little tin at home with all little pieces of ribbon that I use all the time. It's so handy and they look nice.
I'm just taking a photo of that beautifully wrapped gift there, and I'll put that up on Twitter in a little while. I tried to get you in the background looking festive. We'll see if it works.
Yeah, we'll see. We don't have a great track record. But also, I was thinking, if you're going to use newspaper, you can use, you know, if there's somebody who in your house who's mad into movies, use a sheet from the review page.
Very good.
Or if there's somebody who's mad into Brexit, some Brexit obsessed person, you could use some from the political pages or whatever and stuff. So make it a little bit fun. Or someone who's into crosswords, you can use that page or whatever. So that's I probably have to buy a newspaper actually to wrap all my presents now. But I'll try and read some of it first. But yeah, so I thought that was a nice idea.
No, it's very, very, very nice.
It is, yeah. And the paper then, you can use it to light your fire or it can go into the compost or whatever and stuff.
Christmas
so
morning is carnage, really, isn't it? When you've got kids in the house and Santa's brought all the gifts and by the time the ripping paper's kind of torn asunder and thrown in a corner, there's just so much of it.
There's so much packaging. I mean, we don't need it and we, you know, so at least if we could cut down in this way, it would be good.
Yeah. Now, did you have any last minute gift shopping to do?
Yeah, I generally do. I'm not quite finished yet, actually, so a few bits and pieces to do.
Oh, very good. And did you come across any nice gifts for the gardener or the cook in your life?
I did see some nice tools, nice signatures and things like that from the place in Skibbereen, Brown Envelope, actually.
Oh, yeah.
They have some nice...
I was actually just looking at Brown Envelope seeds as well, because they have a great collection of seeds down there. Mm. And a gift for a gardener... for a little bit more money might be a membership of somewhere like Seed Savers.
Oh yes, that's
so
right.
€60 you help the work of Seed Savers down there. You also get a selection of four or five seeds, I think, for yourself, heritage varieties that you get a catalogue as part of the membership, and then that person can choose the seeds that they want. So I
thought
that
is a
really
nice present,
nice
actually. Yeah.
And at this stage, as we're so close, of course, it's panic stations now if you haven't gotten anything, and it's probably you couldn't really rely on a gift arriving in the post. So I think at this stage, a membership of like something like Seed Savers or the RHS or a subscription to a magazine.
Or to the Heritage Council. Or
exactly.
Actually, somebody from Australia messaged me last night to buy a voucher for their sister in October.
Yeah. That's handy. Yeah. For a class.
For
that's
a class,
very,
yeah.
Very
yeah.
Good, yeah. And of course, anything that you can print off like that. So I had somebody buy a voucher for their husband for... one of the butchery courses, and I printed off a nice little voucher for all of the people who asked for one and posted it off to them, and she didn't get it. She hadn't got it in the post.
Oh no.
Yeah, so but I was able to email her the PDF of it, and then she was able to print it off at home.
Yes, I'm just going to email this one, actually, yeah.
So if you are stuck for a present, a printable voucher is really the way to go, I think, at this stage. But for something that they might like. So a course or a class or a membership to a society. And that actually looks like you've put a lot of thought into it.
Yes, it does.
You know, it's not, you know, a last minute
kind of
thing.
It's something nice to look forward to in the new year.
Mm. Now, of course, you can visit the garden centres as well if you wanted to pick up some stuff. So there's plenty of festive things available in the garden centres and the shops around town. I went in today and the sales are already on the Christmas stuff. So 20% off or 50% off or whatever. So if you wanted to get some Christmassy things for next year. But the seed ranges, of course, are in for this year. And a nice little hamper of some seeds for the gardener in your life, I thought, might be nice.
Because the nice thing to do over Christmas, actually, is to kind of sit down and make a list and work out what you're going to do in the new year if you've got a bit of time to spare and stuff. That's
and the one job that I hope I get to at the end of today is, you know, it's midwinter, the tradition is, of course, that on the shortest day of the year, you put your garlic in the ground and then you harvest it on the longest day of the year.
Oh, so
on the
21st of June.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you do get a chance or you fancy getting out and about now or over the next few days or over the Christmas period, pop into the garden, clean off a small area and stick down some garlic bulbs. Now is the time to do it.
Drain off some of the water.
It's draining so fast out at my place. It really is draining fast. And the forecast is looking good, I think, for Christmas Day and a few days thereafter.
Oh, nice and dry weather.
It might be nice and dry. Now, look, it might be chilly, but sure, it's winter.
Yeah.
And if you're able to get outside.
Dry is what we need.
That's it. So the Santee bikes can get a run and... then we can, you know, go for a walk, get out and stretch the legs a bit. That'd be a bit nice. Now, during the show today, it's Christmas. So I want to play some Christmas carols, some of my favourites and those that have a kind of midwinter theme. But you shared a poem today on Twitter that I really, really liked.
It's one of my favourite poems, like, for 20 years.
It's a gorgeous poem by Robert Frost, an American poet. And it's called Woods on a Snowy Evening. And I think we'll have a listen to that before the ads. And then after the ads, we're going to be talking about food and getting ready for the Christmas.
Lovely.
Camping by Woods on a Snowy Evening by Robert Frost. Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near, between the woods and frozen lake, the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there is some mistake. The only other sound's the sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark, and deep. But I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep and miles to go before I sleep.
Text us on 086-353-7782. You can email the show, kitchengarden@corkc.ie. And you're very welcome back to the Kitchen Garden on Community Radio Kilkenny City. I'm Francis Nesbitt and I'm here as usual with Mags Morrissey, and we're live today, Friday from 4 to 5. We'd love to hear from you as it's Christmas, and Merry Christmas to all our listeners and your family and friends. We hope you have a lovely Christmas time. You can get in touch with us on 086-353-7782. Now, do you want to touch on some more gifts before we get stuck into the food, Mags? I did notice that in the Irish Times there was a nice article about a collection of gifts for gardeners. And one of the things that caught my eye in there was Klaus Leitenberger's books. They're small, they're lovely, lovely, lovely little books. But a nice little stocking filler. And if you were able to pick one of those up in the
I've never seen those, actually, because I'm a big fan of his.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
they're
okay.
Really, really
That's
nice.
That's a good idea.
Really nice. And actually, there's a little app he sells online. It's only €4 or something like that. But it's kind of a garden calendar
for
the vegetables. Very, very nice little thing to
He's quite entertaining as well.
He is a very interesting man. Very, very interesting man. Lived an interesting life. And really knows his soil. Knows his soil well. Now, food.
Yep.
Before we get to the big day itself, there's things to do that we can kind of do in advance, really, aren't there?
So. Yeah, there's lots of things you can do in advance. I'm not a big believer in it myself.
Being organised and preparing stuff in advance. No?
You can do some things, but otherwise I feel like I'm cooking Christmas dinner for like 2 or 3 days. I like to just do it on one day and get it done.
Oh.
So, but most people don't really operate the way I do, in fairness. So a lot of people like to have their potatoes peeled the night before.
I love to have some stuff done the day before. I really do. I think it makes a big difference, takes a bit of pressure off on the day. And for some jobs, there are things that you have to do not just the day before, but several days in advance.
Well, yes.
So yes. I like to brine the turkey, which I've talked about a lot in here before, because it makes a much more moist bird, very, very flavoursome. Now, in order to do that, you have to create a brine solution. So it's salt and water, normally about 10%. So if you're putting in 3 litres of water, you put in 300 grams of salt, or less.
And you need now a bucket that you can put your turkey into with all
exactly.
of this.
Exactly. So I use one of the plastic fermenting bins that I make the beer in, or the wine in. Fits perfectly into that. And then I know roughly about the amount of water that I need to go in. But the easiest way to dissolve the stuff that I put into the brine to flavour it is to heat the water. So you're heating the water as you add the salt. And then if you were adding some sugar to dissolve it, you would also heat it. It just makes it easier to dissolve. Now, you can't then throw the turkey into the warm brine solution, because you want to keep everything below kind of 3-6 degrees and keep it refrigerated. So I put the turkey in on Christmas Eve or the night before, so it gets 24 hour in the brine solution, which means the day before Christmas Eve I have to make up my brine solution so it has a chance to cool.
Yes.
So when everything goes into it, it's nice and cold. And then I keep that out in the shed with some ice blocks in there, you know, from the freezer, those freezer blocks. So then everything is nice and chilled. The brine spends 24, the turkey spends 24 hours in the brine solution. And in there I'd have salt, maybe a little bit of sugar, and then all of those kind of flavoursome berries. So juniper berries, some bay leaves, some star anise, exactly, allspice. And they had a wonderful flavour.
I put in like oranges last year, just a couple of slices, or maybe half an orange or quarter to an orange, and cloves, I think.
Cloves, yeah. Peppercorns.
Peppercorns, yeah, very important. And it makes, I only started doing this about 2 years ago, I think, based on your recommendation. It makes such a difference.
Phenomenal.
Like, absolutely. It's well worth the effort. It is a little bit more effort than that, and you've got a big bucket of bird, but it is absolutely worth it.
It transforms the bird.
Yeah, it does.
It really does. So
it brings out the flavour in it, and it's much more moist. So it's well worth
it. So you're essentially, what you're doing is you're driving a little bit of salt into the meat of the bird over that 24-hour period. And actually, as salt, I know this might sound counterintuitive, salt, we know, draws moisture from a thing, but actually it creates channels into which some of the salty water can go. And it's like you're seasoning the turkey meat from the inside before you cook it. It produces a fabulous meat.
So, but it's not salty or anything like that.
No, it's not salty. No, it just, the small amount of seasoning on your food enhances its flavour. It should never taste salty though. So that's one of the first jobs I do. I also am going to smoke a ham this year. So I've cured my own ham. That happened several weeks ago. It's a bit late to be doing that now. But I'm going to hang that in some smoke, cold smoke, for a little while, just a couple of hours. So there'll be wood dust burning with a small flame underneath it. It fills the smoke chamber, which can be like an old fridge or a box or anything really that would keep nasties off or your
You
meat.
Could do it in a cardboard box.
You could do it in a cardboard box. Yeah. You absolutely could do it in a cardboard box. So what you want is just smoke hanging around the joint, not making it smoky, but just adding a slight smoke flavour to the meat. So I'll do that for a couple of hours, probably over apple dust. I don't like the whiskey barrel or anything like that. I think they're quite acrid. So something sweet, like a fruit wood dust, produces a beautiful smoke.
Very good.
The ham will go over that. And then that gets boiled as normal on Christmas Day. So they're my couple of things to do in advance.
Oh, sorry, I will cook the ham on Christmas Eve, actually.
Ah, okay,
yes,
my mother used to.
I'll do the boil the ham on Christmas Eve.
My mother used to do that, and then
bake it.
We'd all start picking at it.
Well, you know what? I was thinking about today, the radio show, and traditions from the past, and that we always had the ham cooked on Christmas Eve, and we would have some of the ham for our Christmas Eve dinner.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is unusual.
Like, it is unusual, yeah. But everyone kind of creates their own little traditions. We would have done that for years.
I was actually reading about the creation of traditions and how nice it is if you find something that you like doing, or if there's something that you've done with the kids once, replicate it. You know, so Christmas Eve, I like to take the kids out. They have a hot chocolate. I have a hot port. It's kind of the end of the frenzy. It's too late now for doing any more. What's done is done, and it's too late to pick up anything else. And a few years ago, I was doing that in Thomastown, and I'd had a look at the, I don't know how I found out about the International Space Station was going to be passing overhead about 4:30 or 5:00. So at 4:30 or 5:00, I made sure to be out on the bridge in Thomastown. We looked up, and sure enough, the space station went slowly overhead. And of course, the kids were convinced that they could see the red coat on Santa, and this was the sleigh on its way to other parts of the world. Time differences, my 6-year-old started to explain to me. But it was lovely. So on Christmas Eve now, I'll always try and do that. And these are things that, you know, grow over a couple of years. And nice to replicate.
Yeah, and then nice to create new traditions as well, actually, as time goes on.
There's another nice text message in there saying, Merry Christmas and a lovely show. And thank you very much. And thanks to everybody who texts in during the year. We may not get to all of the texts, but it's nice to know that you're listening. And thank you very much for the suggestions, ideas and comments that you do send to us. And you can send a text today on 086 353 7782. Now, what else did you want to talk about in preparation, Mags? You don't do the spuds.
No, not problem. Chances are I won't, actually. I'll do the ham.
The ham. Okay. Now, starters for your Christmas day.
We're going to do prawn cocktail this year, actually. I did it maybe 2 years ago, because generally for it was 10 years, I think, of kind of smoked salmon, which is very nice. But the kids love prawns, so it's going to be a prawn cocktail this year. And it's a very simple starter, in fairness. So you just need some nice lettuce. I actually still have lettuce growing in the garden. Yeah, there's still
loads after the frost.
Yeah.
That's amazing stuff.
I'm just going to buy some cooked prawns, to be honest. And then to make the sauce, you need just some mayonnaise, some tomato chutney, some Worcestershire sauce, a little bit of horseradish, Tabasco, and mix all of those up together until you kind of have the desired taste that you like. So if you like a little bit more spicy or not so spicy. And then if you have some kind of a little, you can do them on a plate, actually. So lay out your lettuce leaves, scatter your prawns on, and then pour over your sauce. It's a really easy starter, in fairness. And then you want to just sprinkle a tiny bit of paprika and some chives on top as a little to finish it off. And that's it. That's really very quick to do. And everyone likes that in our house.
So. I love prawn cocktail. Mm-hmm. I know it went out of fashion because it was just everywhere and too much of it, but it's really, really lovely.
When it's done nicely, it is really nice. And it's, you know, probably haven't had it since last year or even the year before. So yeah, it's really nice.
And it's sustainable too. Prawns, when, you know, the way that we harvest them here, or they're abundant. So it's a sustainable.
Okay, yep. Very good. Yep. Very good. Smoked salmon, smoked fish is always a popular one, and a lot of people do it. I think whatever you do for your starter, it should be quite light,
yes,
because your chances are you're going to have a big dinner, really. And you've probably had a large breakfast or brunch or something as well.
What time do you have the dinner in
4:00.
Your place? That's the same as me.
Okay.
Nice time in the afternoon, I think. Yeah.
So there'll be brunch, kind of like Santa in the morning, and then brunch, which will be own sausages, own rashers, own eggs.
Oh, nice.
So that's nice. And then there'll be some activity outside. I'll go off with the teenager and the horse and things like that, so a bit of fresh air and that. And then I will put the turkey in the oven whenever it needs to go in. I'll work that out. And
do you know what might help you with that? And
if
we might
had a
talk
schedule.
About it later. A Christmas dinner timetable. A Christmas dinner timetable is prepared by me every year, so it varies only by the weight of the meat and the weight of the turkey and stuff like that. And I work back from 4:00 and I make out my timetable.
Perfect.
It is. It's fantastic. And if you, as a listener, would like help with your Christmas dinner timetable, there's one on the Crowan Cottages website. If you just do a search on Google for Christmas dinner timetable, actually, for the last number of years, the Crowan Cottages one has been number one. But the Christmas dinner timetable is on crowancottages.com. And literally all you need to do is change the weights of the turkey and adjust the times accordingly. And then from about 11:00 in the morning, my day is mapped out. So 11:00, do this.
Yeah.
12:30, do that. You know, 2:20, do this. And then it starts, the lines get a bit more frequent then as we get closer to 4:00.
I like cooking Christmas dinner, actually.
I love it.
I kind of relax in the kitchen doing it. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it, actually. Another idea, actually, for a starter is like a pear and blue cheese salad. which I've done for a few other bits and pieces, with some toasted walnuts. So nice pears, keep the skin on, slice them, and you want to fry them in a little bit of butter just until they start to caramelise at the edges. Not soft, caramelise at the edges. Take them off, and then you're just going to dice your blue, which I will obviously be buying Cashel blue. So you want some lettuce. You're going to add your pears onto the, on top of that, then some Cashel blue. Toast your walnuts in the oven for 10-15 minutes, maybe it might take 15 minutes, kind of walnut halves, and then scatter those on top. And you can put whatever kind of dressing you'd like on that yourself, like just a mild vinaigrette is nice. That's a really nice starter, actually.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, it is quite nice.
I never would have thought of frying the pear, actually.
Yeah.
We had pear and blue cheese last week in Lidl, and it was really nice.
Yeah.
But I never would have thought of frying the pear. That sounds fabulous.
It does. That's very nice, actually. And the combination of the pear, walnut, and blue cheese, like they're a perfect match.
Yeah, really nice.
Another one, actually, if you've got some figs, I don't know whether it's easy to get figs or not at the moment, but if you just take a fig and cut the narrow end down and make a kind of a cross in it so it pulls apart a little bit, pop a little bit of blue cheese into it, wrap it in parma ham or prosciutto, and stick a cocktail stick through it. Pop it in the oven for just until the cheese starts to kind of warm and melt a tiny bit. So 5 minutes maybe. Could serve like two of those on a plate with a little bit of salad or something. That's a very nice starter as well.
That's
nice,
a lovely starter.
You don't want too many carbs. You're going to have like probably two types of spuds in a little while and stuff. So keep it kind of lighter.
I always go with a little smoked fish on Christmas Day. So this year I have some pollock in the freezer, so I might take them out from a summer venture and I might smoke those. Or you can get trout, and very, very easy to make a little smoker if you want it yourself. Or you can buy smoked fish, of course, very, very light. And we've a producer here in Kilkenny producing it. A delicious light starter. And it's nice, I think, to go with kind of seafood before you get stuck into the meat. Yeah. Two types of meat with the main course.
Another idea is to do kind of a fish platter. So you could have some smoked trout, some smoked salmon, and some prawns, and maybe a little bit of prawn cocktail and something else on it, and then everybody can help themselves with that sort of thing.
So, yeah, that's a really nice idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we're just about halfway through the show, and we are, of course, halfway through the winter, and it's today is the shortest day of the year. It's Midwinter's Day. And one of my favourite Christmas carols is the words are written by Christina Rossetti, and of course the music is by Gustav Holst, and it's a very famous one. I'm pretty sure that everybody will know it. It's In the Bleak Midwinter. love that carol. It's one of my favourites. Really, really nice. And another tradition that I adopted a few years ago was watching the carol service from King's College in Cambridge. Have you ever seen it, Carols from King's?
No.
Oh, it's really lovely.
When is that on?
It's normally on the weekend before Christmas, so it should be on this weekend coming. But then it will be available on the player or repeated. But look it up if you can. Okay. It'll be on BBC. But it's the choir of King's College, Cambridge, who sing at a carol, a service of lessons and carols, similar to the one that's held in Canice's Cathedral here in Kilkenny. Okay. So you have a reading and then you have a carol. And some of the carols are for the choir, and then some of the carols are for the congregation, and they're the kind of better known ones. But they have an amazing tradition of digging out very, very, very old carols, medieval ones, some of them, and ones you haven't heard before. Lovely tunes on a lot of them, but it's a wonderful service, and a phenomenal amount of preparation must go into it. But it's a very, very talented choir. So okay. I love to do that.
I'll have a listen to that. I'll look it up and find that one.
Nice with a glass in hand.
Yes.
Now, we were talking about some of the prep that can be done in advance, like the peeling of the spuds for the steamed spuds or the roast spuds or the boiled spuds. I prep my Brussels sprouts.
What do you do to your Brussels sprouts now?
Oh, very little. Very little. Oh, right. I don't like disguising them. So I love my Brussels sprouts. I don't understand people who, you know, coat them in
Parmesan cream and nutmeg.
And then you can't taste the Brussels sprout. I just love my Brussels sprouts. So they'd be steamed, or maybe they'd be fried in butter, but mostly just steamed, actually. And then if you want to toss them in butter and sprinkle over a little bacon, that's grand. That's fine. Still taste like Brussels sprouts.
Okay, you're not for moving on that one, I think.
No. Yeah. Do I seem kind of adamant about
you
that?
You do a little bit,
right,
yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
I'm a bit of a zealot for sprouts. Sprout tops, actually, somebody was talking to me about during the week. Sprout tops are very, very trendy now.
I was telling you, but we were talking about these weeks ago.
It was you.
On our
there
sprouts,
we go. Excellent. Sprout tops are very, very trendy.
We've been eating sprouts at home for weeks in various things, stir fries and bits and pieces, and I quite like them. Now, I tend to cook for the kids and end up with more of the sprouts than anybody else does, but I like them. But what I like to do is red cabbage, braised red cabbage. That's and that does take about 2 hours, 2.5 hours in the oven. So
and do you do that on Christmas Day?
You know what, I might actually prepare it on Christmas Eve. We'll see.
I think if you were to do that on Christmas Eve, it would taste better on Christmas Day, because I think red cabbage is something that definitely better the day after.
I cook it in a big pot with finely sliced with cinnamon, sugar, butter, tiny bit of sugar, butter, red wine vinegar, cloves. That's it, and the red and some grated apple, maybe two grated apples. But some years you buy a red cabbage and it's quite a small little thing, you know, the size of a cantaloupe melon or something. They're enormous this year.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Obviously a good summer was good for the red cabbage.
So I bought one yesterday, and I'm not joking, you would feed the village with it, because it's not you're not going to eat mountains of it, you know, but it's enormous. So I'm going to get at least 3 dinners out of this huge red cabbage.
My first year out at Crowine Cottages, I cooked red cabbage, but it was entertaining that year, and the cooker was still a really small little rubbish one that I had when I first moved in. And so I went over to one of the cottages, cottage number one, and I cooked my red cabbage over there. I don't know why, but to this day, when I walk into cottage number one, I can still smell red cabbage. Now, it's a lovely thing. It's not a bad smell or anything. Maybe I just associate that experience with the smell that is in that house anyway.
But did you cook it in the oven?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think of it every time I walk into that cottage, I'm reminded of the red cabbage. Yeah. It really is a time of the year where we look back, isn't it? You know, traditions and things that we've done before. And although we're looking ahead to the next few days and the holiday kind of period, we're always reflecting
it's
on...
It's all based on that.
Yeah. Things we did before and Christmas when we were a child and so on.
Yeah.
It's lovely. So you're going to have red cabbage on...
Red cabbage, sprouts, carrots... Because and roast potatoes.
I love my roasties.
Yeah, sometimes roast parsnips as well, but I think that's
a colossal amount.
We might just leave those out. Do those another evening.
And your roast spuds. Now, how do you go about making your roast spuds? Because I like a nice crispy on the outside, but like still floury on the middle.
Yes.
Roast spud.
Yeah. So they have to be parboiled. Absolutely have to be. And then when you've them parboiled, drain them into a colander and bash them around so that it's all nice and uneven and that.
Yep.
And then you're going to, I put them into like a hot pan. So use goose fat. You know, I know everyone loves goose fat and stuff. I probably won't actually. I'll use just, I might use rapeseed oil actually, and a little bit from the turkey. But they'll go in a separate pan. They won't go in with the turkey actually, and into a hot oven. Like sometimes I put them in at maybe 200 for the first 10 minutes and then turn them down. But they do need a good bashing. And I know some people use a tiny bit of semolina and stuff just to make it really crunchy on the edges. I think that's a bit OTT. I don't think
really
you need that.
Unnecessary.
So, yeah.
One of the things that I think is most important about the spud when you're roasting the spud is the size of the spud. You want to get the ratio of kind of crispy skin to inner texture right. And sometimes if you try to roast a massive big spud, it's just not going to taste very roasty. And then if you roast small, little, tiny things, it'll just taste all roasty and no spud.
Yes.
So the size is important. So I tend to pick out kind of like a medium-sized spud or I have a big spud or whatever.
And if you're having them, have them on the diagonal.
Yeah. Oh, do you? I don't do that.
That
would increase the surface area, of course.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
But I like to get the... that balance right between the crispiness on the outside and the inner texture. Love me roast spuds. So there are all these side dishes. I tell you, it's quarter to. We have another little Christmas carol and then we come back and we'll talk about the main courses.
Yep.
So now this is another
personal... Well, we just keep talking about the main courses anyway.
This is another favourite of mine and it's one you'll probably recognise, but not many people know it, as the Coventry carol. That carol, it's so Christmassy to me, it really is, and it's a lullaby essentially, and you really hear that in it, don't
it
you?
It is quite gentle actually,
it's very gentle. Now we'll finish up with something that's a little bit more popular and a little bit more upbeat, so we're going to finish the show with something that I think everybody will recognise from a very, very famous Christmassy movie, The Carol of the Bells. You know that one?
Yeah.
It's lovely, from Home Alone, it's fantastic.
Home Alone, I probably do know it then,
it's a fantastic piece of music as well, but it's made popular by that movie. Now, we're on to the main event.
Yes. So we have our vegetables.
We have the veg done. We have the starter done. The roast veg are done.
We have the turkeys in the oven.
Turkeys
at this stage.
Yes.
And our ham.
Now, in the turkey, what do you put in the turkey?
Nothing.
Do you you don't do any stuffing in the bird at all?
No.
And in the cavity, do you put anything in the cavity of the turkey?
No.
Okay, well, you're wrong on both counts. So, into the neck end of the turkey, I like to put some sausage meat-based stuffing. So I make two types of stuffing. There's a bread stuffing, the traditional kind of bread and sage and onion and so on. And then there's a meat-based stuffing, which is sausage meat, packed full of sage and so on.
That is for savages.
It is for savages, you're absolutely right. House full of savages out there. So I put that not into the main cavity of the bird, because that will just slow down the cooking of it. So cooking happens by heat, and if you have a nice big cavity in the turkey, the heat is kind of working from the inside as well as from the outside. So those horror stories you used to hear of, like, turkeys in the oven for, you know, 24 hours or whatever and still being raw, it's probably because they were rammed full of stuffing and the heat just took forever to penetrate. In the neck end, however, it's a smaller cavity, and into there I put a few balls of the sausage stuffing. So when I'm carving the breast, you get a little piece of that kind of meat stuffing as it comes off as well.
Okay.
It's very nice.
That would convince me slightly of it.
Yeah, it's lovely. Really, it's lovely. And then into the main cavity of the bird, I would put a halved lemon, a couple of halves of lemon, and some garlic, and maybe a bay leaf. That's it. So it's not taking up much space. The heat can still move around the place. But as the fat in the bird starts to render down and so on, you've got this aroma or this aromatic treatment of the bird from the inside.
Mm.
It's very, very nice.
Okay.
Okay. Your turkey, covered or uncovered?
Covered at the beginning, mm-hmm. And I would start it upside down, so breast side down.
Ah, right, yeah.
And that definitely, I think, is the way to do it.
Mm.
That's important. I would cover it in some rashers. Couple of bits of streaky bacon across the top of it. And
there's always a fight over the rashers. Who gets them? Because
they're
really? Nice. And, oh, yeah, nice and crispy and stuff at the end. Yeah, it's lovely.
And what else would I do with it? My stuffing then would be made of only the finest quality breadcrumbs, which I have promised you some. And parsley, sage, and thyme, onion.
Parsley, sage,
and butter.
Lovely.
Pepper and salt.
Mm.
None of your apricots and pine nuts crack like that.
No. I'm not a fan of fruit in me savoury food.
And I would absolutely have to have red currant jelly in the gravy. So the gravy would be made with a little bit of flour, some red currant jelly, vegetable water probably, and what else? What am I missing on that?
So you deglaze the pan that the bird was cooked in, do you?
Deglaze the pan, yeah.
With a little bit of wine?
A little bit of wine, so a little bit of white wine.
And then put in some stock?
Yeah, no, I think I might put the red currant jelly in at that stage.
Okay.
But I do use a small bit of flour generally in gravy, actually. I know that's maybe not everybody's taste, but, there we go.
I like a nice gravy.
It's very important.
I like a nice gravy.
Yeah.
It's a great skill if you're able to make a nice gravy. I do like that.
Roast potatoes have to have nice gravy.
Mm. And and the turkey. Now, do you glaze your ham?
Yes.
And how do you glaze your ham?
I've done different ways, actually. So, but generally some kind of I might use High Bank Orchard apple
syrup.
Some mustard this year. Mm. I haven't done that one before, but I might do that this year and see how that goes.
I make a nice glaze that has whiskey in it.
Yes.
And normally I'd use a Scottish whiskey, Scotch, if I have it about the place, because it adds a kind of smoky flavour. But because I'm smoking the ham this year, I won't. I think I'll go with just an Irish whiskey.
Okay.
A cleaner kind of flavour. So I'd have some brown sugar, some mustard, some black pepper, the whiskey, mix all of that together, and then just lather it all over the ham when it comes out of the pot
and
after it's cooled a little bit.
But you want to score the fat.
Make a nice diamond pattern, yeah.
A nice diamond pattern, and then you can pop some cloves on. It just looks very nice for presenting.
It does.
Pop some cloves on and the little squares and that, and it does look quite cool.
And then into the oven.
Yeah, I love the ham, actually, to be honest. That's one of my favourite pieces.
Oh, for the sambos in the evening as
well.
Oh, I love those.
Well, not if you had dinner at 4 o'clock.
always. Sometimes, I don't know, maybe 9 or maybe even at 10 o'clock, a cup of tea and a turkey and ham sandwich. Oh, it's just, I love it.
Now, the accompaniments are very important.
Oh, yes,
yes,
of course.
So we need cranberry sauce. I know you're not a fan.
No, and now visitors are going to, I'm just going to turn off Mags' microphone there. No, we can't be having cranberry sauce on the
There's table. Loads of people making really nice cranberry sauce, or you can make it yourself.
Texts are flooding.
Really
texts
easy
are flooding
to make.
In here now saying
they all
cranberry
love
sauce.
Cranberry
no,
sauce.
No.
I like cranberry sauce on turkey, actually. And I would have it, you know, in a sandwich. In the days after, a little bit of cranberry sauce with my turkey.
Do you make your own cranberry sauce?
Yeah. And I haven't done it yet this year, but I do, yeah.
Don't bother. But if you were to bother, how do you go about doing it?
It's really easy. You just need, like, you can buy a packet of either fresh or frozen cranberries and some sugar, and there's some booze in it. I can't remember what booze it is, actually, just off the top of my head, sorry. And you literally just cook it all up until the cranberries just burst and pop. Mm. So you don't want to overdo them and stuff. They need to hold. So it's not going to be a smooth kind of, they need to hold a little bit of shape, but they've burst. So it's a very easy thing to make.
Right, well, I'm horrified at that now. But anyway, I don't like cranberry sauce. Yeah. Is there anything else you have on the table?
Cumberland sauce for the ham.
Oh, right,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
very nice.
God, yours is a packed table, really, isn't it?
It is, and I like to have serving dishes on the table.
Right, so people help themselves.
Yeah. Mm. So maybe the turkey might go on the plates, the turkey and the ham on the plates, to the table, and then everybody helps, you know, serves from the table. So you get to sit down.
We have a text in, actually. Happy Christmas to you, Alice. But Alice asks, do you not add any sugar to the cranberry sauce?
Yeah, I did say sugar, didn't I?
Okay, sorry.
It does need some sugar, yeah.
Very good.
Because they are very, quite bitter.
Mm-hmm. So that's a packed table where you are. Is there any room left for dessert then after all of that?
Yes. A lot of discussion about dessert this year, actually, in my house.
Oh.
Yeah, you see, I'm the only one who likes plum Christmas pudding. So, generally don't have it on Christmas Day, actually. And so, trifle is an option. And I've made a very nice trifle in the last couple of years because I've got so many raspberries in the freezer. Make a raspberry and port trifle, which is lovely.
Mm, that does sound good.
Other options are a steamed orange pudding or a steamed chocolate pudding. They're nice too. Or if you like, if you want something a little bit lighter, you could make kind of a mincemeat and apple tart. So
yes.
You know, let's say you're making, like, go as if you're making a regular apple tart. So put maybe half the amount of apple or maybe 60% of the apple in, and then put some mincemeat on top of that and it'll kind of fall down through it. And there's enough sugar in the mincemeat. You don't need to put sugar on the apples and bake it. And it's actually really tasty. It just kind of lightens the mincemeat a little bit with the apple in that, and they contrast really nicely together and stuff. So that's very tasty. I've often done that for kind of one of the days after Christmas if there's people around or something.
Nice with cream.
Oh, absolutely, half
now,
of cream.
To all of the listeners, I was listening to the radio earlier today and I heard a man talking about going out on Christmas Day to a shop that was open near him in the UK. And what was he buying? He was going out to buy cream.
Yes.
And it reminded me of last year, the sudden panic when all of the cream was gone or the cream wasn't bought or whatever. I don't know how it manages to slip off the shopping list, but go buy your cream in advance. Yeah. And you will, over the Christmas period, you'll use it, you know, particularly with steamed pudding or whatever. It's sad, actually, that you're the only one that eats pudding in your house. Everybody eats pudding in my house. I absolutely love it. I really do. Not something you'd ever have at any other time of the year, though.
No.
It's so Christmassy. No. We're stuffed with all of that. I know there's a couple of things that you wanted to mention about doing over the Christmas, isn't there?
Oh, getting out and about for a walk, especially if the weather's going to be dry. There's lots of places, lots of nice places in Kilkenny to go for a walk. I know I'll be out on Stephen's Day for sure. And there's some runs. There's the Gold Mile in Thomastown, and I think it's at 12 o'clock on Christmas Day.
And hello to all of our listeners actually out in Thomastown, because often out there it's mentioned to me, oh, we were listening to the show, so we stretch
Tommy
out that
and
far.
Michael and Pat and Eddie and Anna. Hello to all of those.
And a Merry Christmas to all of them.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas to them. Is that Ger out in Goatsbridge?
Yes.
Merry Christmas to Ger. We were talking about the trout earlier on.
We were indeed. So get out and about in that. Lovely walks in Woodstock. The Trail Kilkenny walks along the Nore, Kilkenny Castle. I'm not sure what days that's open and stuff, but there's loads of nice, and everybody feels good. I think particularly if you've got a bit indoors on Christmas Day, you need to get out on Stephen's Day and every other day after that.
I think it's the secret to a more contented Christmas. It's nice to have people around, and sometimes there are people returning from afar and you haven't seen them in a while. You're very, like, emotions are running high. You're very excited to see them and so on. But adults living together, after a certain amount of time, tensions build. And there's no better way to diffuse it than to just get out of the house and go for a walk, either with those very same people in a different environment, or get away altogether and go for a nice walk. I plan on taking the boy up the hill near the house, and it's a fantastic kind of views from up there. And on a dry, crisp, cold winter's day, there's nothing better than it. Now, we've run out of time in the kitchen garden, I'm afraid, for this year. We hope that all of our listeners have the most merry of Christmases. Enjoy your Christmas food and enjoy your families and time together, and do get out for a walk if you can. Now, we'll be back with one more show for 2018, and we'll maybe look back on some of the successes in the garden and in the kitchen over the year, and we'll look ahead to the new year and maybe do some planning in the garden. You can listen to a podcast of this and all of the shows on thekitchengarden.ie, and keep in touch with us on Twitter during the week. I'm at Nesbitt F and Mags is at Mags Morrissey. But until next week, a very, very Merry Christmas to all of our listeners.